Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
This has not ever happened before. I'm going to try and turn this off. Let's see if I can do it. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what you guys are getting out there, so I'm going to find out from the audience. They're saying it's very unclear. I know there is something going on in the background. Never happened before, and it's just repeat of the intro, and I'm not sure what that's about. So I guess we're just going to go on and have our conversation. I put it down as low as I possibly can, and hopefully it will work out. So I apologize for the lack of clarity here, and we're just going to go on, and hopefully it'll work out. So anyway, thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. Thanks for sharing your Tuesday night with us. This is a forum for folks who are interested in connecting with the unconscious, their unconscious processes, understanding their intuitive processes better, understanding their relationship to the metaphysical world, the five sacred elements, archetypes, and what have you. A lot of times this show has all different topics on it. One of my very topics that's very near and dear to my heart is tarot reading. I do it myself. And I'm just so excited to have Christiana Gaudette on tonight. I hope I'm saying that right, Gaudet, talking about her brand new book, Tarot Tour, which talks a lot about the four sacred elements, which I'm really looking forward to discussing. Very quickly, I want to let you know what will be on Inner Voice Intuitive Hour next week. Barbara Graver will be on. She does a wonderful review and blog called The New Age Review. Check out her stuff on Facebook. Just love the way that she treats working with metaphysics. Just a real combination of the head and heart, and really think that her work is in the field is just wonderful. And then on August 28th, Kanta Bosniak will be on. Kanta Bosniak is an author and has recently done a book about dealing with cancer. So look her up on Facebook and also look her book up on Amazon. Thanks so much for listening this evening. And Christiana Gaudette, Gaudet, are you there? How do you pronounce that?
You got the first name right, which is very unusual. People have a hard time with my first name. It is Christiana, and you were right the first time, Gaudette.
It is Gaudette. Okay.
It is.
So,
no.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining Inner Voice this evening. So happy that you accepted the invitation to be on.
Oh, well, I was honored that you asked me. I really appreciate it, and I can see I know there's some weird stuff going on with Blog Talk. It sounds
there
like it's together. It sounds better, but I was not able to sign into the chat room, so I just sort of closed that window down, but I did see a couple of people I knew, and so if anything fun is going on in the chat room, you have to let me know because I can't see it.
Okay, I sure will. Yeah, it seems like Blog Talk. I was on a show last week and it just cut out like 15 minutes into the show. I've had trouble getting on, so I just say the trickster archetype is with us. We'll just deal with it.
Forgive me for saying it, but isn't Mercury still in retrograde?
I think that it is. Yeah, it is. It's showing up everywhere. So, no, it's okay. So I want to ask you, I always ask folks who are on Inner Voice Intuitive Hour, this career path, this calling for you is kind of off the beaten path. Would you say that tarot reading found you and this intuitive calling found you, or did you find it?
Wow, what a great question. And now I'm scratching my head wondering how my story fits into category A or category B, and I'm going to say a little bit of both. By the time I was 8, I had read every Edgar Casey book that my mother owned, and I think she had the whole library at that point. I had already expressed a huge interest in metaphysics, but I wasn't really aware that it could be a career. My first serious career was actually, I ran a political fundraising office. And at that point, I was really into I Ching, and I would bring the I Ching in, and before we got started every day, my staff and I would do I Ching readings. And so divination had always been a part of my life. I wanted the career so badly, and, you know, tarot itself really did find me, but it took a while. It wasn't until I was about 33 that it occurred to me that it really could be a career. So I would say the answer to that question is yes to both. It found me and I found it.
Awesome. That's a really cool and a lot of clarity in that response. I really appreciate that. In terms of tarot, I know that you use it for healing, and you sent me a list of questions, and we talked about the topic of healing. And I wonder if you could help viewers understand how tarot cards can heal people.
Oh, thank you so much for asking that question.
Sure.
I think on a number of levels, especially if we look at healing from a holistic perspective, recognizing that all healing comes from body, mind, and spirit together. And of course, I am not saying that if you have a deck of tarot cards, you should never have to see your doctor. Certainly, there are things that you need a doctor, you need a hospital, you need medicine, whatever. I'm not disputing that. But I do think that most healing does have a psychological component and a spiritual component. Now, when we first come to tarot, when we study tarot, I think a lot of times we are looking at only the interpretive value of tarot. What does tarot tell you in a reading? And, of course, that's very important. But we also need to look at the spiritual lessons of tarot, that when you learn each tarot card, you must learn its spiritual lessons. And through understanding those lessons, you come to a place of healing. You learn to relinquish the past and release the past. You learn to let go of trying to change things that you cannot change. You learn acceptance. You learn to be proactive when it's time to be proactive. So that's one way. Another way is when we read for ourselves, we learn where we're off the path. You know, at any moment of the day, either you're in your integrity, you're on your path, or you're not. And tarot is going to tell you when you're not in integrity, when you're not on your path. So in reading for yourself, tarot helps to keep you on the healthiest path. Now, a third thing is that tarot can direct you to your healthiest behaviors. What is the healthiest thing for me to do at this time? And I know Christine Jetty wrote a book a while ago, called Using the Dark Images to Heal. It was Healing with Tarot, Using the Darker Images to Heal, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that another way we heal with tarot is to meditate with the cards. For instance, and I use this example in my book, if you look at the Rider-Waite-Smith Eight of Swords, and you see that person who is blindfolded and tied up and put in a cage made up of her own thoughts, well, that's being in a state of anxiety. So suppose you're a person who has an anxiety disorder. You could do a meditation with that card, and you could be that person. In meditation, you could become that person and find your way out of that bondage. And on a magical level, on a metaphysical level, on a psychological level, you could enact your own healing from your anxiety by doing that process. Does that make sense? Did I describe that right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's wonderful. I think it's so easy to just look at the tarot as a divinatory tool, but I think that you're right. We really miss the mark when we don't recognize our relationship to the archetypes. And I think that when you're talking about the Christina Jetta book, you're talking about the concept of the shadow, and it's so important to be able to engage the lessons of the shadow so that we can grow and develop and see all the aspects of ourselves instead of just what's in the light.
Right. That is so true. And so I think we can work with the images, we can do magic, we can do meditation, we can learn their spiritual lessons, and we can do appropriate divination to make sure we're on our path. So that was the short answer, following the long answer there, how we can use tarot to heal.
Absolutely. I'm looking right now, and I'm not finding it, but one of my very favorite tarot books is called Spiritual Tarot. It was out of print for a while. It's got a pink cover, and it really looks at tarot as an opportunity to embrace lessons and then gifts. So I think that double-edged way of looking at what the cards are about is so, so relevant for people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Are you familiar with that book, Spiritual Tarot?
I do not think I am, interestingly. I'll take a look for it.
Yeah, I think it's really wonderful because I think it can be really easy to just, I know some of the books in the 1970s that came out about tarot had a tendency to see it in a very black and white context, you know. This
right.
is either all horrible or all wonderful. And I always steer away from those books because I think that they don't help us understand the human psyche very well.
Well, exactly right, and I think you hit on an important point there, and I always try to make this point when I teach, is sure there are cards we would rather see. You know, we would rather see the sun than the tower, of course. Mm-hmm. But really, every card can have a more positive interpretation or a more negative interpretation. Every card has a gift and a shadow. You know, for instance, with the sun, you would say, what's wrong with the sun? Well, what if it's all about ego?
Right.
You know, or what if it's about being that person who has to be so happy that you're completely in denial about the real stuff that you have to work on? With the
right.
devil, for instance, the devil is a very difficult card, but sometimes it's about the journey that we must go through. The
mm-hmm.
care of an ill relative or something of that nature. So there is an up and a down to each card.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, though, holding that place of Jung called the tension of the opposites, you know, holding
right.
that place where it doesn't have to be one or the other, it's so, so important, and especially as we age, it's so detrimental. It's just so important for us to soften around what our own needs are, because sometimes we can't control what does happen.
Right, that's exactly right.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask you what your experiences as a professional reader using tarot for healing have been. What's been your journey been like, Christiana?
Wow. Well, you know, honestly, it has been absolutely amazing. I have been very lucky to have a supportive family.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in a lot of ways. My family of origin, my father was a Methodist minister. And so you can imagine growing up in a parsonage, growing up as a minister's daughter, I might not have been lucky enough to have parents who supported me when I said, you know, this is what I'm going to do professionally, but they did. And so that was great. I have a husband. It was actually my husband's idea that I start this business. And my poor kids have suffered through psychic fairs, have dealt with, you know, I mean, everything I've done, they have been part of it. It really has been a family business. They're grown up now, but I've been a professional. My son's now 21. I've been a professional reader since he was three. And so, you know, the first part of the journey that I have to say that has been so great is I've had this supportive family. And beyond that, you know, I know that a lot of readers are very concerned that people will judge them poorly, that they will be the victim of discrimination. And sure, that's happened. I opened an office in Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania, and my office was picketed. But
wow.
I loved that. I was so pleased when that happened because here were a bunch of people, and when I say a bunch of people, I mean like five people, marching in front of my office saying, no psychic in Mount Pocono. Well, that, you know, my office had just opened. I needed someone to let people know I was there.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Well, and it creates a dialogue, too, which I think is so important, you know. And it also gives credibility to the field. I think sometimes there are folks who put, you know, that shadow concept that we talked about. People can really put a shadow on the idea of connecting with their intuition and using different means to do that. And I think it's so important that, you know, to just be there and create a discourse for folks who are really, you know, working through some of those questions.
And so most of the time I've received great community support. I've done a lot of work on community radio, AM radio, FM radio, that kind of thing. I've done a lot of television, you know, and this was really before we had Blog Talk Radio or, you know, YouTube channels or any of that. When I first started, I didn't even have a website. But we had AM radio, FM radio, and television, so that's what I did. And I've had so much support there. So I would say that my journey has been easy in that I've had so much support. And in terms of the ability to actually work with clients from a healing perspective, it's been amazingly rewarding. Now, I do entertainment, too. I entertain at corporate parties. That part of it has been a lot of fun. I've done readings on yachts. I've done readings in all kinds of crazy places. And, you know, that's always good for a laugh. So it's been everything from the deepest amount of healing to just the biggest party and everything in between.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that's so cool about Tarot is you can do it in so many different ways and bring so many different lenses to it, you know, and it's just wonderful that, I mean, I have clients who come and really treat it very, very seriously and really understand their own archetypal energies better by working with it, and then the parties are a blast too, and it's a great way to open the door to people who maybe aren't familiar with it and think it's scary, so that's so cool.
Yeah. And so now I'm kind of on a new journey where I'm writing books, I'm doing webinars. So, you know, the other aspect of a tarot career is there's always places to explore. There's always new things. So now I'm enjoying that aspect of things very much as well.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I did want to ask you, I know that you do an event like around Christmas. I chanced upon it on Facebook. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was so intrigued with it and just thought it was wonderful. You do like not a food bank, but it's like a gathering of different. That's awesome. That's so wonderful.
A fun thing. It's the holiday open house. The first time I did it, it was just me. I was brand new. I just opened my business, and I said, okay, I'm going to rent out this small hotel conference room, come in and have a free reading. And it wasn't even a food drive at that point. It was just, this is what I'm going to do for the community for the holiday. I'm going to give free readings. So I did that. It was very successful. I did it like that for a few years. And then I got together with some of my students and my friends, and we said, well, let's make this a big deal. Let's make it be like a free psychic fair and ask everyone, and at that point we were doing toys. Let's have everyone bring toys that we can give to, there was a homeless shelter that had a lot of kids in town, and let's give them an awesome holiday. So we did that, and that was great. And eventually it kind of came to me that the need for food was even greater than the need for toys. Mm-hmm. And so it just grew and grew. I've done it in three different states. Wherever I happen to be living is where we do it. Sometimes we do it even in two different places in the same state. But basically what it has turned into is a free psychic fair where we do these services in exchange for your donation of non-perishable food items. So this last Christmas we had 22 service providers. That would be tarot readers, astrologers. We had an acupuncturist. We had Reiki people, you know, all kinds of readers and healers, 22 of them. We raised 600 pounds of food in That's 5 hours.
That's amazing. And it's such a wonderful thing because not only does it help to create more of a discourse about, you know, how healing that kind of work can be, but it also helps do something practical, which is feed people who need it. So it's just wonderful on so many levels.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you about your first book, Fortune Stellar.
Fortune Stellar. And, you know, here's the story about Fortune Stellar. It's not a book I would have written. A publisher contacted me, asked me to write it. The title is mine. She wanted to call it What Every Professional Tarot Reader Needs to Know, which became its subtitle.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote it. She accepted it and then promptly went out of business. So then I had this book that I hadn't intended to write, and I got in contact with Mary Wilson at Jupiter Gardens Press, submitted it to her, and she really worked with me. She really helped it become the book it is. It's a much better book than it was when it started out. And it has been incredibly successful, and the thing is, I mean, that's what it's about, what every professional tarot reader needs to know. Now, you would think that that's a small market. There's not that many of us. But so many people enjoy this book. I actually found out that a lot of tarot people who have massage businesses, who have other kinds of small businesses, are working the program that is in Fortune Stellar using the tarot to help them build their business very successfully. I've told this story before on other shows, but I will tell you this, too. There was actually a college professor who uses this book as a textbook. He said, look, here is this really crazy arcane business that runs according to these principles. Let's study these principles and see how valid they are. And apparently he thinks that they are valid business principles. Basically, the principles of the book are, you can make your tarot business be whatever you need to make it be. Whatever kind of business, however you want it to be, you can do that. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you have to do it ethically. You have to know what your ethics are, and you have to work your ethics. Number three, you can use tarot as a guide to help you design the business that works best for you. And finally, you will have the support you need if you really believe in yourself, really believe in your business, and really believe the support will be there. The people who say, I can't find anyone who wants a reading, or people in my community don't support the idea of tarot reading, that's their belief system. That's not the belief of the community. And so it's all about having a belief system that supports your business.
Absolutely. I think it's also about having clarity about what kind of clients you want, what kind of issues you want to focus on. And the more clarity that you have, the more you're going to draw, you know, that right energetic match, you know, to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Fortune Stellar came out in 2010. It's still doing very well. Of course, now it's not my only child. Now I have Tarot Tour Guide, which just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Awesome.
My actual living human children have to share the stage with my books. And Tarot Tour Guide, of course, is for every tarotist. Whether you are brand new to tarot or whether you've been reading all your life, I think there's something in Tarot Tour Guide that can be there for you. So the books are really very different one from another.
Awesome. Yeah, and I really wanted to talk about Tarot Tour Guide because I know you do a very developed and thorough discussion of the elements, the four sacred elements, and how they show up in readings. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely, and I address the four elements as both the cornerstones of tarot and the cornerstones of life. That by looking at the metaphysical properties of the four elements, by working with them magically, by working with them in meditation, and even by connecting with them IRL, digging in a garden, baking bread, that connects you to the element of earth, and therefore will help you to be more grounded. Going out on a windy day, flying a kite, blowing bubbles, this will connect you to the element of air and will help you to have more clarity, so on and so forth with all four elements. So I talk about the elements not only as they pertain to tarot, but as they pertain to us on our journey. Now, in tarot, of course, we know that the four suits of the minor arcana connect with the four elements, and we know that there is an elemental association for each of the major arcana. The more that we understand those elemental associations, the more that we can understand the depth of the message of each of those cards, and the more that we can understand this truth. The four elements describe and are part of everything that we will experience in our life from birth to death. There is nothing that is not encompassed within the framework of those four elements. Since the tarot is part of that framework, tarot can be used for every aspect of our lives. And what I've done in the book is the last four chapters are dedicated to each of the four elements. So there's an air chapter, a water chapter, an earth chapter, and a fire chapter. And I've broken down different things we can do with the cards that honor that element. For instance, for the water chapter, we talk about tarot in working with love relationships. We talk about tarot to heal the heart. We talk about tarot for heart-to-heart communication. We talk about tarot for group activities, things you can do in a group with tarot, building a group. With air, we talk about tarot in decision-making. We talk about tarot and ethics, tarot and honesty, those kinds of things. With fire, we talk about the sexual tarot, using tarot in sex play. I tell you, there is nothing that tarot can't do.
Yeah, I really believe that. I also think that in looking at the four sacred elements, there are different types of folks energetically, and that some people, and if you work with astrology at all, the idea that some people are fire, some people are water, some people are earth, and some people are air, and we're a composite of all of those. So not only is it possible to use the tarot to look at any aspect of ourselves, but to look at ourselves and where our strengths are, because some people have more strengths with emotional connection, and some people have more strengths with intention setting and these sorts of things. So I think that it can really be used as a doorway into the psyche.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. Absolutely. And you know, when we talk about choosing significators, and this is something that I talk about, that most readers have a card that represents them, a card that is their significator. And certainly we have what I call our native significator. That would be a court card based on your age and gender and astrology. So, for instance, I am an adult female. I'm a Scorpio, so I'm the Queen of Cups. But being the Queen of Cups doesn't work very well for me. I'm overly emotional. I cry all the time. I feel things too much. And so I decided I wanted to be the Queen of Wands. I've got a Leo rising, so I have that fire in my chart. And I started using the Queen of Wands to represent me. And it really did make me bolder, more creative, funnier. it made me more of a fire person than a water person, which is where I really needed to be to do what I needed to do in life. So there's a lot we can do in terms of working with significators to bring about the personal change that we want in our lives.
Absolutely. I so appreciate your awareness of that piece. I think that, you know, often we come in and our energetic type is out of balance. It might be our alchemical home, but it doesn't challenge us to move forward on our journey and understand other folks, you know, who have different types. And I think that energetically our job is to figure out the gifts of those different energetic types and to get up next to them and figure out how to grow in ourselves so that we become more whole.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. That's wonderful. And I think that that's such, I mean, when you're talking about meditation and tools like using the archetypes or the significator as you're talking about move toward the next stage in our journey, that what you're talking about, choosing the Queen of Wands to kind of reframe the direction that you're headed in and what your opportunities are, is just so apt and so important. And, you know, that the idea that we're not fixed, we don't come in as one thing and stay that way, that we can grow
right.
And individuate towards something else.
Exactly. And in fact, I like to do a lot of different things with the cards. I like to hold into my chakras. I like to take their images and put them on the wall. I like to get little mini tarot decks and put a card in my bra. You know, often you won't know this, but I have a card in my bra. And I just presented via Skype. I presented at Tarot Masters in Brazil. And, of course, that was a conference primarily in Portuguese. And so I don't speak Portuguese, so my presentation was translated. And later on, it came back that in the presentation, I made them smell their cards. And they loved it. They were okay with that. But what I actually told them to do, we were working with the aces, and in order to connect with each of the four elements, I asked them to breathe in the energy of the ace. And they thought that was great, but it translated into smelling the cards. So, you know, there you go. There's a lot of ways for us to embody the energy of the cards. That's the key, really.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree. That, like, self-sense experience is so, so central to the way that we change and grow.
Sure.
That's awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Well, I also wanted to ask you, I think that sometimes these elemental, you know, different elements and things show up at different stages on our journey developmentally as well. So there's certain times when we're asked to deal with more with the emotional realm of cups or more with the intuitive and motivating realm of fire. And I wonder if you've noticed that in your readings as well.
That's an interesting question. Let me ponder that for a moment. You know, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, where you read for someone and it's all swords, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I read for someone today, it was all swords and pentacles, no cups and no wands. And you know, obviously that's always going to be a focus when we do a reading like that. And I think certainly once that situation is corrected and brought into balance, you know, there may be another reading, another time in that person's life where the focus is all water. And I think ideally I prefer it in my own life and in other people's lives. I prefer it when there's a nice balance there, you know, where all the elements are being honored, where we're really working all of those aspects of life. But clearly it doesn't always happen that way. And certainly I think we can move from one focus to another. Sometimes when I see that, I'll point it out and I'll say, but you know what, this is where it needs to be right now. I read for someone the other day, she's got two very young children, she's working full time, and there were no wands. She had like no energy, no fun, not a lot of sex. And, you know, we commented on that, but I was like, look, you know, you've got a really important position at work, you're raising two kids. You know, wait till the youngest one is five and it will probably fix itself. So sometimes certainly what's going on in life will dictate that. It's unfortunate, but it's the way it needs to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to ask you about how you see tarot. As you were talking earlier on about meditation and how people can use the cards for meditation and intention setting, and I wanted to ask you more about how you work with that.
Well, there's a lot of ways. When we talk about meditation, I will encourage people to do different kinds of guided meditation with the cards. Sometimes I think it's fun to go on the fool's journey with him, to do a meditation where you actually enter the card and step off the cliff with the fool and see where it takes you. Or where you enter the realm of the high priestess and see if you can engage the high priestess in a conversation and see what she tells you. It's not easy to get her to talk, but if you do, what might she say to you? So that's one way to do it. Another way, of course, is the way that I described earlier, where you actually become the person in the card. And sometimes I will actually do that in a very physical way. If I need, say I need the energy of temperance, I may actually go into the kitchen, get two glasses, stand on one foot, and pour water from one glass to the other for a while. And literally, physically do that as a way of bringing the energy of temperance to me and getting into that focus. Now, when we talk about tarot magic, I speak about this a great deal in Tarot Tour Guide, everything from using tarot in casting the sacred circle, using tarot to invoke the four elements rather than your physical altar tools, also doing actual tarot magic, using particular cards to bring the energy that you desire into your life, or to remove an unwanted energy. You know, you can use it for attraction magic as well as banishment magic, and I do both. To, if you're looking for a new job, to cast a spell that involves the Ace of Pentacles, for instance, can be extremely, extremely positive. So there's lots of different ways to do that.
Do you do that in a more synchronistic fashion too, noticing what's coming to you energetically in terms of images and energies as well, or just in a more active kind of creative ritual way?
Both.
Absolutely.
You know, if you see something coming and you want it to, you know, you want to support it energetically, you see it coming and you do the magic around that, that's going to support it. On the other hand, I've had situations, you know, I really believe there are times you can change what's coming by doing this kind of energetic work. Not always. Some things are coming like a freight train and there's nothing you can do about it. But other times, the predominant energy for what's coming may be one thing, but you can pump your energy enough so you can change it and bring in something gentler or bring in something that seems more positive for you.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I think that you're talking about using images and stories at that point, you know, because we live in a storied world and in a world that is full of images, full of archetypes, like just walking through the door, noticing the kind of movies that you're drawn to and that sort of thing helps you understand what archetypes, what stories it is you're working on telling. So yeah, absolutely. I think the more alive that journey becomes, the more powerful it is, and the more empowered we become.
That is absolutely true. And you bring up a really interesting point there, going back to the earlier discussion about using tarot for healing. It is true that we live in a storied world. And one thing I notice is that people sometimes create stories about their lives based on the facts of their lives, but the way they see that story, the way they tell that story is very hurtful to them. And you can see that in the cards when you read for them, and then you can reframe the story. You can help them see it from a different perspective and to tell their story and perceive their story from a way that is more healing, a way that is more positive, more hopeful. And that is an amazing way of using the cards for healing. to help people understand the way they have been telling their stories and how that limits them, and help them to tell their stories in a more limitless, optimistic way.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that's where the real magic of Tarot is, when people start to have those tools themselves. So they may come for a reading, and that helps them to look at the world differently and see these archetypes as real in the world and speaking to them. But then I think when they get to go out and figure out that they get to do that on their own, that's so powerful. And when they start to tell the story differently, like you're talking about, it just, it can be absolutely, you know, transformational.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
It certainly opens up their possibilities.
Yeah, and also, like, when you were talking about the healing and that piece, I think on a biochemical level, on a quantum level, that they absolutely, if they believe they can, have the capacity to heal themselves by using some of these ritual, you know, tools and recognizing what they need in terms of the elements and these sorts of things. They can actually change themselves on a biochemical level.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Wow, we've covered a lot of ground. What else do you want to share about your book, Christiana?
Wow. Well, it's available in paperback and on Kindle or your e-book.
We were going to get there. That was coming.
Let's see. It is, okay, here are some wonderful points about my book. It has a lot of spreads in it. Some traditional spreads, some new spreads. It has magical spells in it. It has all kinds of reading techniques. It really is a tour guide. The name of the book is Tarot Tour Guide, and I mean that on two different levels. Number one, the book is a tour guide through the journey of tarot. And number two, tarot is a tour guide in the journey of life. And so this book has a lot of stuff in it. It's got clues for the beginners. It's got exercises for advanced readers. And I'll tell you one thing that Fortune Steller and Tarot Tour Guide have in common. I am the queen of tarot exercises. So at the end of every chapter, there are things for you to do with the cards, with your tarot journal, that will help you learn the cards, help you learn about yourself, and help you discover your own journey. So it's a very interactive book. It's not just a book you're going to read and think about. You're going to do the spreads. You're going to do the exercises. And in doing that, you're really going to connect with tarot, and you're really going to connect with yourself. And that's true really with both of the books.
That's awesome. That's so cool. There is a question in the chat room, and that is, how could readers use the cards to learn how to tell their own story?
Isn't that a great question? That's a good question. Yes, I want to kiss the person who asked that. Give me the question again. Let me make sure I answer it correctly. Say it to me again.
Sure. It's, how could readers use the cards to learn how to tell their own stories?
Well, here's what I would do, and this is just right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I would shuffle the cards, and in fact, I'm doing this right now, and if you have your cards with you, children at home, let's play. Okay, I'm making this up as we go along, but let's see how it works. Shuffle,
awesome.
Shuffle,
I'm getting my deck.
Shuffle, shuffle, and the question I'm asking is, how am I telling, okay, let's do this, let's, you can think about your life as a whole, or you can think about one part of your life, your love life, your health, your work. If there's a particular part of your life you're not happy with, you can do that, or you can just say your life as a whole. I'm telling my life as a whole because I'm pretty happy with everything in my life right now. So we're going to ask the question, how am I telling my story right now? How do I perceive my story right now? What is my story right now? And you're going to lay out some cards, just lay them out left to right. I'm going to suggest 5 cards, but if you feel more comfortable stopping at 4 or going on to 6 or 7, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just going to lay out these cards. So I've got 1, two, three, four, five, and I feel like six, so I'm putting out six. And you're going to read them as the story of your life, the way you are actually seeing it, from left to right. So I'm going to do it as an example, but I want everyone to do their own. Okay, so my first card, Queen of Pentacles reversed, and this is true. I have always told my story. My mother, wonderful lady, but she had a very difficult life, and that difficult life was reflected in me. Mm-hmm. Number two, Five of Wands. I have always been both creative and combative. Mm-hmm. Three of Swords, reversed, I really embraced my own healing from all of that. Six of Pentacles, I have always wanted to be helpful to other people. Eight of Cups, reversed, I have been very stubborn and resistant to my own healing. Four of Pentacles, reversed, I always do like that Six of Pentacles, I always do try to be very giving to others. So that's my story. Difficult beginnings, basically because of some of the stuff with my mother, difficult beginnings, embracing healing, helping others, being resistant to the healing I embrace, but still trying to help others. That's my story. Mm-hmm. So you take a look at your cards, you see your story. Now, if you are not happy with that story, like I'm pretty happy with my story. I embrace healing. I know I'm resistant to it, but I embrace it. And I try to give to others, and in that I receive a great wealth of wonderful things. And by things, I don't necessarily mean physical things, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with that story. But what if you're not? What if you look at that and you say, this story does not serve me. I need to tell my story differently. Here's what you do. Like, for instance, I might take that Ace of Cups and say, you know what? I'm going to turn that right side up. I am going to be open to my healing. Mm-hmm. Or I might say, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't frame my entire story about my mother's misfortune. Maybe I shouldn't make it be like that. So maybe I want to take that away completely. So work with the cards you have out here. You can rearrange them. You can take them away. You can turn them upside down or right side up. And then decide what cards you want to add to it. What is really true? What makes sense? And as you tell this story, you can do a little magic here and tell story beyond where we are right now. What's your story for tomorrow? What's your story for next year? So first work with the cards you have. Get rid of the ones that don't serve you. Turn right side up or upside down. Change them in order if you want. And then go through your deck and cognitively choose the cards that tell the story better and advance the story the way you want it to go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. One of the things that I... Oh, one.
No, that's okay. I was just pointing out that I am the queen of the tarot exercise. Go ahead. What do you got?
Oh, one of the things that I like to do as well is choose a card in the morning and just ask it to tell me a story and pop up sometime throughout the day and kind of just speak to me that way. And that's a really great way, I think, for folks who are really new to the tarot to not get, like, really overwhelmed with the spread, but just have one experience with one image.
Perfect.
One message.
Perfect. That's great. Yes. The card of the day.
But I love your idea, too. I love your idea of, you know, seeing these cards interchangeable, these images as interchangeable, and telling that story that way. I'm going to work with that some because it really resonates. And, yeah, yeah. How do you teach people who are very, very new with the cards, you know, who, you know, here's 78 cards in front of you and, you know, go to it. What do you do for folks who are beginners?
It depends on the context. I do something called Tarot Circle, which I do both online, Global Tarot Circle, and in person. And this is an environment that welcomes people who are brand new to the cards and people who have been reading all of their lives, and we interact together. We teach each other. So sometimes it's just a matter of looking at the pictures and learning how to be intuitive about the pictures. Sometimes we decide to focus on, let's talk about this particular suit, or let's talk about these few cards. Sometimes I'm very traditional in teaching and, you know, this is the fool and this is what the fool is and this is the magician and this is what the magician is. And we'll kind of go through the major arcana, go through the minor arcana. When I teach the minor arcana, I like to teach the four elements and numerology, because if you get that ace is a new beginning, an essence, a gift, if you get that and you get that, say, the suit of cups is water and water is love, it's really easy to know that the ace of cups could be a new love, the essence of love, opening into love. It all makes sense. I also like to teach the major arcana based on their elements, because I think that that opens up a lot of new ideas. When you look at the lovers and discover that the lovers is an air card, that gives you a whole new take on what the lovers is trying to teach us.
Absolutely. And how do you equate the major arcana with the elements? I'm really curious about that.
Well, I use what is a pretty traditional system. I believe it comes out of the Golden Dawn. It is all in my book, and it's actually in a free webinar that I do. I do the Major Arcana every other month, so you should tune into the webinar. But, you know, basically, it has to do with the astrological associations. For instance, the Fool is associated with Uranus and is an air sign. And that makes sense, right? The magician, and I, right off the bat, I cannot remember the astrology on the magician, but he's also an air sign. High priestess is water. Empress is earth. Emperor is fire. And it's interesting to think about the emperor as fire. Of course, he's associated with Aries. And it's interesting to think about him as fire, because you can think of him as a four, as being very stodgy and very routine. But you got to remember, he's the politician, and he can create war. Now, the Hierophant, of course, is Earth. And that's very interesting, because the Hierophant is supposed to be this really spiritual guy. But on the other hand, he is so grounded, he can't always get out of his own way. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot there to contemplate.
Absolutely. And I love the idea that you're talking about how you have a polarity of expressions with each major arcana card. It isn't just one thing. It shows up differently, you know. I just really like that. And that helps with the intuition, you know, that helps with how someone will read it when they're sitting in front of a client. That's awesome. I love the way that you break it down and reinforce it. And I'm sure that when you do readings that way, patterns pop out, that are reinforced from the major to the minor arcana and back again.
Sure.
I think that's wonderful.
Sure. Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, we just have about 5 more minutes, and I want to make sure that you have a chance to share anything else that you wanted to share with the Inner Voice audience, and also all of your information about your webinars and getting readings and all of that.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to my publisher, Jupiter Gardens Press. If you are an aspiring writer or a writer who is frustrated with your current publishing company, give them a try. It's a fairly new, very small publisher. It's really this new breed of publishers. You don't have to self-publish, but you also don't have to deal with one of the big houses if you don't want to. And I think she's very good. She's helped me be a better writer, a great editor. So consider her, Jupiter Gardens Press. My two books, Fortune Stellar and Tarot Tour Guide, both available in print form and for your e-reader, whichever you prefer, available from Amazon, BNN, Smashwords, and, of course, Jupiter Gardens Press and any other place where you would buy books. My webinars, I have premium webinars and free webinars. I have webinars on tarot subjects. I have Global Tarot Circle, which is a free opportunity to come play with tarot online. I also am starting to do non-tarot webinars, also free. We have psychic development. We have candle magic, all kinds of fun stuff. This and all kinds of other information available on my website, tarotbychristiana.com. I also have a community blog, community tarot blog, that was just featured in the Tarot School's Tarot Tips newsletter. And if you are an aspiring tarot blogger and would like to have a tarot blog or post occasionally, again, go to my main website and find your way to our community blog. Please feel free to post something about your take on the tarot. My personal blog is there as well, and I hope you will give that a look. Now, as far as readings, I do Skype readings, I do phone readings all over the world. As long as you speak English or have a translator, I can work with you. My phone number, 561-655-1160, or again, simply find me on my website, tarotbychristiana.com. And of course, if we are not friends on Facebook, why the heck not?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing the hour. It was a really rich hour, and I really appreciate all of your insights and information.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. The hour flew by. And I'm so happy that you mentioned my friend Barbara Graver. She and I used to have an office right near where she lives, so we know each other personally. I was so glad you mentioned her. And again, I just really appreciate what you're doing, and it was a fun show, and I'm really honored to have been on it.
Awesome. I feel the same. And it's wonderful that you know Barbara. I think she's just really, really contributing a lot to the field, and
yes,
and just love her work. So, well, thanks so much. Thanks so much, Christiana, and have a great evening.
You too. Thank you.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Christiana Spadet. And she was talking tonight about working with the tarot, and specifically working with the four sacred elements in the tarot. Check out her books. I can't wait to get to take a look at Fortune Stellar and see what's there as I'm working on building up my own business and client base. So can't wait to see her take on that. Folks who are in the CBUS area, do check out Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot Guidance classes. I teach them periodically. We've got a full class now, and we're getting ready to work with numerology tomorrow and the journey that the numbers that the sacred numbers hold for us. Just got a really great group of gals this time around. And do take a look at innervoiceintuitive.com. Check out the services there. And if you are so inclined, please feel free to sign up for the newsletter that will be coming out and has come out. And also check out the ebook. If you sign up for the newsletter, you'll also get the ebook, Chakra Balancing for Every Body and Soul. And that's kind of a workbook. So take a look at that. And if you like the show, if you like what we brought to you this evening, do share your little picture on With Insights Radio, and do check out our other shows. There are some wonderful offerings there. Entrepreneurial Excellence Show by Heather Tapia for folks who are in the metaphysical world and are looking to figure out how to promote themselves and how to do entrepreneurial work, especially for women in business. Do check out that show as well. And if you have a chance, I will be on Entrepreneurial Excellence tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, talking about Inner Voice Intuitive and talking about my line of intuitive jewelry, sacred bracelets. So check out Inner Voice Intuitive Tarot Guidance on Facebook, and check out Sacred Bracelets on Facebook. Love to hear from you. Have a great evening. Well, my music is not going to play this evening, but oh well, Trickster is still amongst us and Mercury is still in retrograde. Have a great evening, everybody. Thanks for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. And whatever you do, go and make magic, create magic, feel magic, inspire magic, because that's really what we're here for. Take good care, guys. Bye now.